Kingdom Exhortations, July 2026. Read by Stephen Keysweater.
Good morning. Of all the chapters in the Bible, perhaps the most widely read and utilized is 1 Corinthians 13. In addition to being the most quoted chapter, it is also one of the most misunderstood chapters in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13 is the world-famous, iconic chapter that deals with the absolute necessity of Christ-like love in the life of every believer in Jesus Christ. It's important to keep in mind that when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he did not break it up into chapters. The chapters were added around 800 years ago in the year 1227 by a respected scholar named Stephen Langton. In dealing with chapter 13, most scholars over the centuries believe that the second half of chapter 12, verse 31, should have been the start of chapter 13. We see Paul making a clear transition into the next part of his argument and instruction. Quote, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Although this chapter has largely been used as an expression of romance, tenderness, and compassion, that was not the Apostle Paul's intent when he wrote it. He is actually rebuking the Corinthians for self-centered pride and selfishness. They were an immature church that cared much more about self-importance, outward expression, and spiritual charisma than inward transformation reflected in self-sacrificial love and Christ-likeness. Regrettably, this is often the case with the church today. Quote, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. It's with this background that we come to the most consistently quoted verses of the chapter. Most of us have been to weddings or other ceremonies where we've heard these verses read with zeal, passion, and even tears. It is certainly appropriate and wonderful to recite these verses, but they should never be used as a tool to manipulate people to treat us in these ways. They ought to be read, studied, and understood as an exhortation for us to live them out in selfless, Christ-centered love for Jesus and others. Quote, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13 comes between chapters 12 and 14, where Paul is dealing with spiritual gifts and orderly worship, respectively. The church was misusing and misapplying their gifts, causing extreme dysfunction and frivolity. Quote, "What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation? All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. He stresses that all the magnificent spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues, giving words of knowledge, and the gift of the prophetic will all come to an end when we leave this life. Does your walk with Jesus reflect a greater desire to please Him and obey Him, or to show off your spiritual gifts? Quote, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Quote, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. The ultimate purpose our Heavenly Father has for each of us is to grow up to be more like Jesus, conformed in every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. Quote, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." Romans 8, verse 29. Unfortunately, very few Christians ever grow up to be mature disciples of Jesus. They remain spiritual babies, forever living on milk, never being able to digest the deeper and more profound, quote, solid food of the Word of God and the Son of God, Jesus. Quote, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. Quote, "Therefore, we are always confident, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. As Christians, we live this life by faith. We don't see Jesus with our natural eyes or hear Him with our natural ears. We don't know and experience Jesus in the same fullness that He does us. We do, however, have a steadfast hope rooted in our hearts that we will one day see Him face to face when we leave this life and go to heaven. This ought to be the deepest desire of every Christian man or woman. Quote, "For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 12 and 13. Let us go now and determine to properly read and study 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As one of the shorter chapters in the New Testament, it affords you the opportunity to read and reread it multiple times in order to better grasp the heart of Paul. Keep in mind that it was not written to promote romance or invoke an emotional response. Examine yourself and earnestly repent where you see areas in your life where you are more concerned with self-promotion than Christ-centered and other-centered love and devotion. Carefully consider each of the qualities and virtues in verses 4 through 7. Be thankful to Jesus for the ones you do well, and begin to make immediate adjustments to the ones you do poorly. Keep in mind that it will take time and practice to grow into a truly mature disciple of Jesus. Be encouraged. The more you do these things, moment by moment, day by day, the more you will be able to absorb solid food and go deeper in your walk with Jesus. Quote, "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14. Quote, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Romans 8, verses 23 through 25. As you patiently wait for the day when the fullness of your salvation is realized and you no longer have to live by faith, continue to steadfastly study the Scriptures, that you might have genuine and growing hope in the certainty of everlasting life in heaven. Quote, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Romans 15, verse 4. Of all the things we have ever dreamed of or hoped for throughout our lives, nothing will compare to the day that we leave this life and get to see our Master, our Savior, our King, and our God face to face, Jesus Christ our Lord. Quote, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 20. May God bless you all.
Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.